Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you on this Friday afternoon. With me on the other side of the glass, John Couch. We are in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio on this Friday, the 7th day of August, 2020. We are live during the week, Monday through Friday, 10:30 Tucson's Voice for trusted news talk, worldwide live listening and podcasts at my website, buckmastershow.com. The Buckmaster Show Live Line is presented by Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. Our media partners, TucsonSentinel.com. Thank you very much, Dylan Smith, the Green Valley News and Saharita Sun, Tucson Local Media Group and its portfolio of publications, including Inside Tucson Business, Tucson Weekly, Oro Valley Explorer, Marana News, Foothills News, and Desert Times. The Friday Focus interview today, Fletcher McCusker is with us, the chair of the Rio Nuevo Downtown Tucson Revitalization Board. Rio Nuevo is a tax increment finance district that's known as a TIF, that's funded by a share of state sales tax dollars and held accountable to the Arizona State Legislature for use of the funds. In 1999, voters approved the creation of the district. It allows the TIF funds to be reinvested into the community to create a dynamic city center. Mr. McCusker is credited with spearheading much of the development downtown since moving the headquarters of his Providence Service Corporation, a $1 billion company, which he founded, to downtown Tucson. Mr. McCusker's latest venture, UA Ventures, a venture capital fund designed to commercialize University of Arizona science, technology, service, and products. Last winter, he was named Arizona Business Leader of the Year. Joining us on the other live line today, our guest reporter, joining in the conversation, Dylan Smith, editor, publisher, and founder of the 10-year-old online news service, TucsonSentinel.com. Dylan is also the vice president of the Arizona Press Club. He's immediate past chair of the Lion Publishers. Lion is an acronym for Local Independent Online News Publishers. Dylan, how are you?
Hanging in there, trying to get through this. This is about the time of year when the heat really starts to become just a little bit much.
It's
dragging out right now, isn't it?
Especially when there's no rain. Yeah.
Yeah, it's becoming a little tiresome, but we shall persevere.
All right, let's welcome Fletcher McCusker. Fletcher, how are you doing? How are you hanging in there?
Surviving the pandemic. Bill, thank you. Dylan, nice to hear your voice. Haven't talked to you in a long time.
Give us the overview, Fletcher, on how bad things are, or is there any light at the end of the tunnel for downtown?
Well, it's schizophrenic for sure, because we're focused on survival. Rio Nuevo's success was basically in the food and beverage and entertainment business, and that's out of business. So we participate in their sales tax revenue. We have some dire forecasts that indicate, Bill, our revenue could go to zero because the 99 base that you described in your opening remarks, we only participate in the sales tax base above that year. So, that's the whole point of incremental financing. The state keeps the tax rate and the tax base before 1999. So we're working with our merchants, particularly the restaurants, to survive. We've authorized a $2.5 million relief package. We paid for the glass breakage as a result of the riots, if that's not too strong a word, downtown, and we're going to try to do more. In the meantime, we've approved over $300 million of new projects, funded primarily by people outside of Tucson that really see Tucson as a bright spot post-pandemic.
Now, that $300 million, is that new money coming in since this began, or were these existing projects?
No, these are relatively new. Some of them were in the works, but we were concerned the funding would disappear. These are privately funded. The Bautista, for example, the huge project on the west side, the One South Church project, which will be a new five-star hotel, 75 East Broadway, now a 20-story tower. These projects are advancing. Moreover, though, what's optimistic for all of us is they're being financed by people from Boston and Salt Lake City and Scottsdale who really see that Tucson could be a future destination, you know, as people look at how cities manage the pandemic. You know, so on one hand, we're trying to keep a restaurant open, and on the other hand, we're discussing a $100 million 20-story project.
Dylan, join the conversation.
Yeah, Fletcher, about a month ago, a little over a month ago, Rio Nuevo approved a $10 million budget for this fiscal year, which is about $6 million less than it ordinarily would have been, anticipating a lot of those reductions. Are you looking at having to go back and revisit that as we see more of the economic impacts? Are you going to have to cut that back even further?
We were pretty conservative and probably used the worst case forecast, Dylan, in our budget. So far, so good. We're actually doing a little better than we had budgeted. Our staff does a really nice job chasing money. So, you know, we also get construction sales tax. We are doing well with some of the stores that have reopened, some of the big box stores, you know, so we're actually a little bit ahead of where we budgeted and, you know, knock on wood, so far so good.
Some of these projects, you mentioned the Batista. There are also, I believe, two Hilton projects, one at the TCC, which is that the DoubleTree, and then there's another Hilton hotel.
Yeah, the DoubleTree should open in February. It's on time and on budget. If you've driven by there lately, it's topped off. It's quite an extraordinary project. Simultaneously, the Rio Nuevo built garage, which will service the TCC, and that hotel is now finished. And then you're right, Hilton is building another hotel just across the street from the cathedral. So those projects were launched well in advance of COVID-19, and the good news is they've stayed on track. You know, this state, like many states, considered construction an essential service, so there was never any slowdown of either of those projects.
And then the Tucson Convention Center work continues, correct? That will be through to 2022?
Yeah, we've actually been able to accelerate that schedule because the venue's dark. We were having to work around the various events and concerts and hockey and indoor football. And, of course, with it closed, we've been able to accelerate that construction. So that stays on track. That's also funded outside of the sales tax. That's a $70 million renovation of the entire TCC complex, the exhibition hall, the music hall, the Leo Rich Theater, and we'll finally restore the plaza.
Dylan, go ahead.
On the TCC, what is the timeline for all of this? And I mean, there's a whole lot to it. There's the parking garage that's planned on for the surface lot right next to the music hall. When will we finally see this mostly being done?
Yeah, so the garage and the old meeting rooms are totally being redone. They're being modernized and rebuilt. And the exhibition hall renovations will be done in 2020. In 2021, we're doing a set of new meeting rooms, Dylan, on the west side of the entrance. One of the challenges that TCC had, there's no proximity between a big exhibition and breakout rooms. So we're building a new set of meeting rooms there, literally in the parking lot, and then another garage behind the music hall. And then we'll renovate the music hall and Leo Rich in 2021.
When all of this is done, will it put Tucson in a position to you know, but assuming the world gets a little bit more back to normal in a couple of years, as people plan these things, will this put us in a position to attract some of those conferences and conventions that we were not able to pull in because of
limitations? We'll be a very competitive mid-tier city. We're not going to compete with Vegas or San Diego, but we're now competitive to Albuquerque and El Paso and Palm Springs and places like that. We'll have several hundred hotel beds. We'll have a very functional, attractive TCC complex. So we do expect, and Visit Tucson's confirmed, that we expect to see some new inbound convention business.
How is the Fox Tucson Theater going to survive all of this, Fletcher?
Well, that's a good question. You know, we've invested about $1 million in their survival in the last couple of months. They've had to furlough all but a few of their staff. Both the Rialto and the Fox will remain dark through 2020. There's just nobody in the concert business booking any acts right now. So they've got a campaign, kind of save the stage campaign, and we're all just on the edge of our seats hoping that not only does the Fox survive, but the Rialto, the Ballet, the Symphony, the Arizona Theater Company, these organizations are at real risk, and they really can't do anything other than remain dark. You know, so the Rialto is down to two staff, I think, and just hanging on until some things come back. We have granted them some stimulus dollars, and we might do another round just to try and keep these places alive.
Was the Fox in financial, what was their financial picture before COVID?
Well, that was the irony of all this. February was the best month ever in downtown Tucson.
Wow.
You know, in the year coming out of, you know, last year was the best year ever for all of these venues. The Fox revenue was over $6 million. In 2019, Rialto was over $6 million. So, you know, we were really beginning to see the traction that Rio Nuevo was designed to create, and then literally had the rug pulled out from underneath us in March.
Let's speculate after the break about how do we come out of this? What is Tucson, downtown Tucson, going to look like when we return to, if you can say, some kind of a normal, a new normal? Anyway, let's address that with Fletcher McCusker and Dylan Smith with us on the live line as well from TucsonSentinel.com. We'll take the break here on the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Be right back.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
The Arizona mining industry provides precious metals needed to support technical and structural equipment used by law enforcement, firefighters, and the military to keep us safe here and around the world. But the most critical part of public safety and national security is the people who serve without hesitation to protect us. The Southern Arizona Business Coalition stands with our men and women who serve with respect, responsibility, integrity, and discipline daily to keep us safe.
A Citizens Advisory Committee of the Regional Transportation Authority is in the process of developing a new 20-year regional transportation plan, and soon will consider which projects best address transportation needs across the greater Tucson region. As part of its ongoing public outreach, the RTA invites your early input on which projects meet regional goals. Learn more about plan development and provide input at rtanext.com. Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at VeroAmorePizza.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson. Tucson International Airport.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Here at Bon Voyage Travel, we encourage you to keep the travel spark alive by exploring the world through our weekly webinar series that includes inspiration and insight from some of the top leaders in the travel industry. When you're ready to plan your next adventure, know that Bon Voyage Travel will be here to advise and assist. Join us every Wednesday at 3 p.m. for a new virtual destination discovery. While we're apart, let's keep dreaming together. Visit bvtravel.com for more information.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Our Friday Focus interview today, Fletcher McCusker, chair of the Rio Nuevo District, Downtown Tucson's Revitalization Board. Dylan Smith is with us from TucsonSentinel.com in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. The Buckmaster Show Live Line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Fletcher, there was a report by Moody's Analytics, I believe, that came out about a month ago, arguing that Tucson is really one of the top 10 cities positioned to thrive when the pandemic is over. Cities that didn't make the list were Los Angeles, Miami, New York City. So how would you say we are positioned at this point to emerge out of all of this?
You know, Forbes picked up that article, and you know, I talked to Joe Snell at the Sun Corridor this week, and he confirmed that we've never had the amount of inbound activity from people inquiring about locating their business or relocating to Tucson.
Wow.
And I do think, you know, that's the thing we have to focus on, to really take advantage of, is that Tucson, because of our diversity and how well dispersed we are, and we really, in fact, don't rely on public transportation. You know, a lot of companies that were Midwest-based or in some of these larger cities might, in fact, move to the desert. So I think in terms of economic development, we have an opportunity to strike, you know, post-pandemic. And it's the only way the stuff that we're working on survives, you know, because you can't, you know, the arena holds 10,000 people. You can't have a concert in there with, you know, 200 people. So we've got to find a way to get back to being able to attract a crowd.
And why do you think that is? Why is Tucson attractive? Just people want to get away from traditionally what have been what's been viewed as big major urban areas.
Yeah, if you look at the places where the virus thrives, subway, apartment buildings, large office, you know, high rises, you know, they're looking to diversify away from that, looking for single story office space, looking for, you know, spread out residences, you know, places like Tucson and Tulsa. And I think those are the cities that, you know, are going to be interesting post pandemic.
Just looking at the future of Rio Nuevo, so much of your funding comes from the, you know, that excess retail tax above that floor. A whole lot of major retailers in the Rio Nuevo district, which stretches all the way down Broadway, are going away. How does that change how you're thinking about the future of Rio Nuevo?
Most of our revenue is, in fact, from food and beverage. Almost two-thirds of it comes from the restaurant bar activity downtown and along Broadway. So we could survive a dip in retail. But I think one of the things that we're seeing impact us the most is because we're going to have very little cash to participate in these projects. The tool that people seem the most interested in now, Dylan, is some sort of future tax rebate. So if Rio Nuevo runs out of cash, we can still be a player because we can forgive or abate sales tax, and we can do a GPLET to abate property tax. So I think we still are attractive, even though retail might diminish and we don't have any real cash to put in a new deal.
Looking ahead, the vaccine, hopefully the vaccine will be successful, at least have even limited success, even as was said today. I think Dr. Fauci said even if it's 55 to 75%, it would be a huge step in the right direction. How do you kind of see this playing out? I mean, do you think people would be have to carry a card that shows they had been vaccinated, perhaps before they could get a seat in one of our theaters when they start back up? I'm just, looking ahead here, and hopefully we're not looking that far in the future, but what do you see? How do you see this playing out, Fletcher McCusker?
People my age are staying at home. They don't want to go to the movies. They don't want to go to a concert. They don't particularly want to go to a restaurant. Younger people seem to be more accepting of the risk. And I think it may evolve that way, Bill. You may see a very conservative aging group of people, which, of course, Tucson's gravy, afraid to go anywhere. While young people are perfectly fine going to a bar or a concert or a restaurant. And I think until there's some level of safety, and I think it has to come from a vaccine, our aging population is not going to venture out.
Well, it's interesting. If you go back to 1918, and Dylan, you've been studying this, the 1918 pandemic, it pretty much went 1918 to 1920, and then people kind of gradually got back to their lives. People were wearing masks during that period, and I'm just this could take a couple of years, couldn't it, gentlemen, to get back to somewhat of a normal. Dylan, would you say that?
Certainly, if we don't have a vaccine of some sort of effectiveness, and if we continue to have people who, basically refuse to follow scientific advice and wear masks and socially distance, the longer and longer it's going to take. If we shut everything down completely except for things that are actually essential for a couple of months during the spring, we would have been mostly through this. The virus would have stopped circulating. But as long as there are pathways for it to keep infecting new people, it's going to keep going.
Well, I think the government's going to have less to say about this. And you're right, people are going to start making our own decisions about what risk we're willing to accept. I think government is moving toward the fact that only 1% of the population dies from this, and the cure is worse than the disease. Particularly the Republican-led states are rushing to reopen, and that means the economy will survive, but there will be collateral damage and deaths. I don't want to be one of those 1% people. So, I think, it's dramatically going to affect how people shop and eat and travel, and, it's going to affect tourism.
UA Ventures, your venture capital fund, really was off and running before all of this. Has this research stopped, or give us an update on how things are going post-COVID times?
It's slowed down, almost everything that we're doing. Of course, the university's been closed, so the research labs have also been closed. And, outside partners that we were working with, companies like Google and Facebook and others, it went remote. There's been so little activity at the university in this space. We think all that will come back, once everybody gets back on campus. So that seems to just be postponed. We're not worried about the continuation of, commercialization or tech transfer, but the university's got to somehow get back into business.
When you were heading up Providence, you moved the organization downtown, and that whole thing about offices and how that will change with people working at home, what are some of your thoughts on that?
Well, Google's told their staff not to worry about coming back to the office for a year and a half, and we're seeing a lot of that, where there are, you know, ways to manage without a big office. And you can have people orbiting a smaller office. I think you're going to see the office space downsize. I think you're going to see people become more creative. And the office is not going to be the 9-to-5 destination that it used to be.
The office space was, we have the space downtown. So what happens to space like that? Just going to sit there or what?
Well, you might see three companies lease the space that one company used to occupy. And, you know, you're seeing, you know, people come together in more open kind of spaces where they can be socially distanced. And, you know, our downtown wasn't as built up as some of these big cities. So we have an opportunity to adapt. And, you know, I think that's, again, why Tucson is attractive. We don't have a lot of bricks and mortar, you know, office buildings that, you know, can't be adapted. A lot of people are going to, you know, be outdoors and, you know, 9 months of the year, our weather's perfect.
How many restaurants do you think, what percentage will not survive this in our downtown area?
We estimate a third of them will not survive.
Mm. And how many are still even open at this point?
Well, everyone has, no one has closed downtown permanently. Most of them are temporarily closed, or if they're open, they're takeout only. You know, so it's been a huge hit to the restaurant sector. There are 110 restaurants in the Rio Nuevo district, and it's been our life's blood. So, you know, we're going to do all we can to keep those doors open.
Dylan, some final thoughts.
I don't want to get too far into the weeds, but something struck me in a press release from Rio Nuevo last week about Rocco's Little Chicago and La Rua's, those two projects. And it said that the Rio Nuevo board reactivated its pledge of $500,000 for renovations for those two new spaces. Does that mean those projects are actually moving ahead?
They were approved, Dylan, before the COVID hit. And then we deferred literally everything that we had on the drawing boards until we sorted out our cash flow. And given the improvements that I talked about a little earlier, we have reactivated those two. And they're iconic restaurants. We want them to be along Broadway. And indeed, we're going to start actively pursuing those two projects.
So the cash is there for those two?
Cash is there for those two projects.
Okay.
How about reauthorizing Rio Nuevo? Could you give us a brief update on that?
Authorization. We're authorized through 2035, and it's going to be an interesting 15 years. I'll be 86.
Oh, boy. All right.
We don't serve terms, you know, so
yeah.
You know, I might outlast both of you guys.
Yeah, well, we'll see what happens. Fletcher McCusker, thank you very much. Hope you stay well and hang in there. Dylan Smith sticks around with us. He is our guest reporter of the day, and we certainly have a lot to talk about, of course, after the primary and look ahead to the general election. Dylan, stick around. We'll take our break right here. It's the Buckmaster Show for a Friday, and we'll be right back. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com.
The Arizona mining industry provides precious metals needed to support technical and structural equipment used by law enforcement, firefighters, and the military to keep us safe here and around the world. But the most critical part of public safety and national security is the people who serve without hesitation to protect us. The Southern Arizona Business Coalition stands with our men and women who serve with respect, responsibility, integrity, and discipline daily. to keep us safe.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Noble Hops in Oro Valley is now open to welcome guests for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Noble Hops menu items are available for you, your family, and friends. So check out Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and on the web at noblehopspub.com.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. I'm Bill Buckmaster on 1030, Tucson's voice for trusted news talk. The Buckmaster Show comes to you from the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio and our Buckmaster Show live line, presented by our friends at Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Our thanks to Fletcher McCusker, head of the Rio Nuevo Board, for giving us an update on the situation, which is not really very pretty for downtown Tucson. Dylan Smith with us, editor, publisher, founder of TucsonSentinel.com. Dylan, I guess the good news is that there are several pretty big projects that are going to be finished. They are working toward completion. However, it's a very challenging time, especially for our performing arts organizations. And looking ahead to 2021, let's hope it's the start of kind of a recovery year.
Well, and an issue you sort of touched on that we really didn't get time to dig into when Fletcher McCusker was on was that a lot of these projects are office space. A 20-story tower being built on Broadway, yep, with a whole lot of offices in it. Will there be anyone in those offices in the next few years? That's, you know, a pretty big question. And, if you remember back, it didn't really happen so much in Tucson, but in a lot of Sunbelt cities, you know, in the 80s, there was a massive overbuilding of capacity, and then a whole lot of places sat vacant for a while. And we're looking at a much smaller scale thing here, but will we have sort of a little bit of boom and bust going on because of these projects?
Well, there might be with the social distancing kind of carrying over. Maybe the traditional office space will actually need more space for their cubicles. I don't know. I'm just
rather than crowding people in, basically shoulder to shoulder, sharing cubicles almost. That might be a thing. It certainly changes the economic prospects. People aren't going to pay the same level of rent. You know, if they need to put, have somebody in twice the square footage. You're not going to pay the same rate of rent for that kind of thing. It's just one of those many, many completely open questions about the medium-term impacts of the pandemic.
I want to talk a little bit about, and it hasn't been talked a lot about in the recap of the primary, because actually this is some court action concerning four initiatives that were supposed to go and be before the voters. We had our attorney Don Luce here with us on the show yesterday. One of the four has been tossed out, and that was the much talked about reinvest in education. And the other three are being challenged, Dylan, including the recreational marijuana. And it's interesting. This all hinges on a 100-word statement that organizers are supposed to put in front of their initiative, what it's all about. Well, the judge in the case of the Invest in Ed said, hey, you left out a bunch of stuff. Well, it's pretty hard, Dylan Smith, to cover some of these very complicated initiatives in 100 words.
Certainly. And the law limits the folks who are trying to get an initiative passed to just 100 words. In the statement that goes on every petition sheet, they are required by law to have a copy of the entire initiative that they're trying to get people to sign up to support, so that anyone can read it before they sign. They can read the entire thing. That has to be available. So, there's just no way to possibly put every permutation and especially every objection to an initiative onto the little top part of every petition sheet. That doesn't seem feasible by any stretch.
And this is kind of a new tack, isn't it, Dylan? Because it used to be that folks would challenge the number of signatures and the validity of the signatures. It seems to be now the focus is on this 100-word description. Is that something new, or is that 100-word description always been a part of this, at least in recent memory?
Well, I think, pushing this hard to challenge the description is a new tactic of people who are opposed to initiatives for one set of reasons or another. Still, there are possible challenges based on signatures. That's not going to be a very successful move when somebody turns in 2-3 times as many signatures as they need to get on the ballot. The legislature has in recent years really limited the way that signatures can be effectively gathered. This is something that is core to Arizona's constitution. It's the first part of Arizona's constitution is the right of people to make laws without the legislature, without the governor. And, it's something that really the founders of our state insisted on having there. They basically had to pull a bit of a move to get Arizona's constitution approved by Congress so we could become a state. And then they went and stuck that right in there because they thought it was that important and that vital.
Dylan, let's talk now about the primary. We've talked a lot about it on the air here on our three local shows. I did a little bit of a recap on Wednesday with Jim Nintzel and Dan Scheer. What are some of your thoughts? What was the big upset in your mind?
I think the most important thing about this primary was how, and this election year, not just the primary, but Pima County is going to be a different place after this election than it was when we started the year. A very different place, perhaps. We're going to have, no matter who wins, we're going to have three new supervisors. A majority of the five-member board of supervisors will be folks who are new to those posts. We already know, that we have a new county attorney. We're going to have, no matter who wins some of these elections, new people in a number of positions, perhaps changes in other ones. It's a sort of changing of the guard that we haven't seen in a long, long time around here.
Treasurer, recorder, you could have a change in sheriff. It's just, as you say, three new faces on the board, and a lot of people have focused on Dr. Matt Hines' upset. It might have been for Dr. Hines almost a perfect storm with the COVID. He's been all over the place in the national media, a lot of visibility. I think that paid off for him on the local level. Would you agree with that?
Well, you have that. You have the fact that he, you know, despite not having run for that office before, he's, you know, been in office. He in the legislature. He's run for Congress a couple of times, and certainly had a level of name recognition that made his challenge to a you know, fairly established incumbent a different sort of challenge than somebody just coming out of nowhere. I was pretty surprised by the you know, extent of his margin. That was a you know, something that I was not expecting, to be honest. I thought that if Matt Hines was going to win that, it would have been, you know, a narrower margin if you asked me, you know, right beforehand.
Yeah, we have a couple of very interesting races. I think Pima County Supervisors in District 1, Steve Spain, who was the candidate that Allie Miller was pushing, winning quite by a large margin in that four-way primary. He'll go against the Democrat Rex Scott. It'll be interesting, Dylan Smith, to see if Rex is able to cobble together Rhonda Pena's group of supporters to switch over and join him in an effort to defeat Mr. Spain. I confirmed today, by the way, I will have Mr. Spain and Rex Scott here in studio. That will be October the 9th. I don't call these debates when we do them. It's more of a discussion. The week prior to that, I've also confirmed we'll have Sheriff Napier and Chris Nanos for the hour on October 2nd. So those are a couple of dates that I'm really looking forward to. That's going to be a very heated race, that sheriff's, the kind of rematch, isn't it?
That they've got a rematch there, and I think that District 1 race is going to be a somewhat different contest than it has been in past years. Basically, all year long, the Democrats, and especially Rex Scott, who won that Democratic primary pretty easily, has been talking about the demographic, you know, the voter registration shift in that district, that the Democrats have a much better chance than they did, say, even just 4 years ago. We'll have to see just, you know, how many of those non-party voters, the independent voters who are haven't chosen to sign up with either party, shift toward the Democrats this year. It doesn't seem like a great year for Republicans in Pima County, especially, but who knows what's in the cards over the next couple of months.
As I recall, Dylan, that's about a 3,000, that lead of Republicans to Democrats in Pima County Supervisorial District Number 1 has narrowed to about a 3,000 vote advantage. And that traditionally, in my 32 years living in that district, at one point, a Democrat had virtually no shot at winning that district. But now, not only with the narrowing of Republicans and Democrats, but then there's a sizable number of independents. I'm really, really going to be watching that race. It's going to be very interesting.
And the last time around, it was something like a 12,000 registered voter difference between the Republicans and Democrats. And now it's down to about 3. Of course, the number of independents has increased. There's more of them. So, you know, it's going to be very, very interesting to see just how much institutional support Steve Spain gets from the Republican Party and how much the Democrats want to devote to Rex Scott in a race that has historically not been a great chance for them.
And then you mentioned, and this is so true, what a huge change this is for Pima County. It's really, and you look at the Pima County Attorney's Office, it's a 40-year kind of reign there that started with Pima County Attorney Steve Neely. He was one of the first people I interviewed my first week on the job at Channel 6 in 1988, along with then-Governor Evan Meekum. We had Neely, and then you had Barbara LaWall, a kind of a disciple of the way Neely does business. And then Barbara was in there for 24 years. So this is a completely new look and change for the Pima County Attorney's Office.
Indeed. And depending on who wins some of these other races, I think the county recorder's race is going to be a very interesting one. But no matter what, Pima County government's going to be different, you know, come December and January.
All right, Dylan.
Which kind of opens up the question of, whither Chuck Huckleberry at that point.
Well, I made a prediction on the air Wednesday. I believe that Mr. Huckleberry will be renewed at least for a year because of, I just don't see a change being made with that important a position as county administrator in the middle of this COVID epidemic. That's just kind of the way I see it.
His contract's up, I believe, at the end of the year.
It is.
But, if the Democrats hang on to their majority, I would bet you're probably right that at least one more year, not to completely shake things up in the middle of so many things that are moving right now.
All right, Dylan Smith, thank you very much. We'll look for your work at TucsonSentinel.com. Thanks, Dylan.
Thank you, sir. Take care of yourself.
All right. The Buckmaster Show continues. We have Weekend Watch coming up with Matt Russell. That will be right after the break. As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. In preparation for developing a new 20-year regional transportation plan, the RTA board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to select projects for the draft plan. The committee will help identify which projects to invest in to best meet regional transportation needs. Learn more about plan development and provide early input at rtanext.com.
Hello, I'm Danette Bewley, President and CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority, with news of our new effort to ensure air traveler safety and security going through our terminal. It's called TUS Cares, and you can read more about it on our website, flytucson.com. As you carefully weigh your decision to fly, I want you to know whether it's next week, next month, or next year, we are here for you at Tucson International Airport. Thank you.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
All right, we made it to the weekend. Weekend Watch with Matt Russell is presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Time to start planning to visit Silver City so you are ready when New Mexico is once again ready to welcome you and all out-of-state visitors back to the land of enchantment. Only a three-hour drive east of Tucson, so much to do, including hiking in the Gila National Wilderness. For more information, things to do, and places to stay, visit southwestnewmexico.org. Let's welcome now award-winning Tucson publicist, Inside Tucson business food and beverage columnist, Mr. Matt Russell. Matt, how are you?
Hey, Bill, I'm doing great. You know, it's just, it's one of those Fridays that I wish would have started on a Tuesday, if you know what I mean. I mean, it's been that kind of week. So that Weekend Watch soundtrack, that theme music, has never sounded so good.
Yeah, what about me? Two dental appointments in 6 days. Boy, I am ready for the weekend. This is Weekend Watch. I think you could call it the patio edition.
Absolutely. It's all about patios this weekend. And you know, Bill, one of my favorite patios in all of Tucson is Noble Hops. Of course, Lambert and La Cañada, as your listeners definitely know, you know, the majestic Push Ridge makes for a stunning backdrop for happy hour today, and their seemingly endless horizon of tap handles will make sure that you have a craft brew or two that'll fit your personality and palate. And this just in, Bill, they just recently received a shipment of fermented tea called Strange Beast. Now, this is served ice cold, so it's perfect for this afternoon, but at 7% alcohol, it packs a bit of a punch. So be sure to enjoy some Noble Hop snacks alongside it. Happy hour can't get here soon enough.
Oh, my friends at Noble Hops, that is probably the nicest view of any patio in town. What a beautiful view that is.
You can't beat it.
Anything going on at the beer house?
Yeah, well, you know, it's a patio that you're definitely going to want to head to tomorrow. The Arizona Beer House on Broadway and Colt, but they're going to be convening a convoy of food trucks that'll be dishing out their best on Saturday from 2 to 8 p.m. Now, there's going to be a whole lineup. Some of my favorite mobile eateries will be there, like the Culinary Graduate Food Truck, AJ's Famous Hollywood Hot Dogs, even Fat Noodle is going to be there. And, you know, to wash down all that truck-driven cuisine, the beer house, they're going to have 730 different cold beverages to choose from. Like, 630 wouldn't be enough, right? That's all tomorrow at 2 p.m.
10-4, big buddy. The convoy. The convoy is ready to roll. I think, wasn't Burt Reynolds in that movie, Convoy? I think he was. Anyway.
That's right. You got it.
Yeah. What's going on at Saguaro Corners? They always do such a nice brunch.
They sure do. And it kind of wraps up my patio edition of Weekend Watch today. Brunch at Saguaro Corners on the east side, Old Spanish Trail. You know, all your favorite brunch items are on the menu. Plus, some dishes that I don't think you're going to see anywhere else, like baby back ribs, eggs, and home fries, Bill. That's the breakfast of champions in my book. You know, brunch is served on Saturday and Sunday out at the corners from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m., and the beautiful views of the Rincon Valley, as always, are thrown in at no extra charge. I'll be brunching it up this weekend at Saguaro Corners. It's going to be beautiful.
I think you could do brunch 7 days a week. Have a great weekend, Matt. Appreciate it. Thank you. The Buckmaster Show is a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, which is wholly responsible for the content of our program. Original theme music composed by Christophon. Thanks to my assistant, Rosemary Brandt. Rose makes sure all those programs, all of our podcasts are up and ready at buckmastershow.com. On behalf of everybody here at KVOI, including my friend, engineer, and producer John Couch, the entire team at Bustos Media Tucson, all of us have the same wish for you, and that is a safe and pleasant weekend. I'm Bill Buckmaster. Have a good one.